and welcome to Children Rooted in Christ, a podcast for mothers dedicated to teaching our children more about their Savior. By listening to interviews with inspiring women, we will learn how to nurture a deep and rooted love of Christ in not only our hearts, but also the hearts of our children. I'm Alexis Twitchell, and thank you for joining me on this journey toward Christ. You are listening to episode 7, an interview with Lindsay Bates.
All right. Well, my name is Lindsay Bates. I am a mother of three, married for 17 years. Wow, 17 years. That's a long time. I live in Austin, Texas area. I grew up in Caldwell, Idaho, and we moved to Texas just a year and a half after being married, and we had a 4-month-old little girl, and we moved here knowing nobody, and we have lived here ever since and really love it. It has been a great place to raise our kids. Where I grew up, it was good, diverse group of people as far as religion is related, and I had a lot of friends that were believers of Christ and some that were not, and I kind of like that because it made me have to like figure out what I believed. And so living here in Texas, it's kind of very similar where my kids are surrounded with people who are believers of Christ and people who aren't. So for me, I feel like it has been a great place for us to raise our kids. The community, the culture that is here has been really, really nice. Personally, as a mom of three now, I am pretty active in their sports and activities that they do. I find joy in volunteering in different capacities, whether it be PTA or the Booster Club or the Team Mom, you name it, I've done it. But in my free time, I am an avid runner. I love listening to podcasts. You can catch me listening to a criminal podcast at any time or a Netflix documentary about it. I love that type of thing. I work full time and I love exploring and going and doing and finding new places to discover, like a water hole or a hike or just different things like that. So that's kind of who I am and a little bit about me.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I wanted to ask you, who is Christ to you and how have you come to know that?
So Christ to me is my advocate and my companion through life. I think that a lot of times we don't always, because we can't physically see him, we sometimes forget that he's always there for us. So I like to think of him as walking right beside me in this journey and helping me in all aspects of life, not only when I need him, but even when I don't realize that I actually do need him. I really think that Christ has a greater influence on us than we realize. His grace is sufficient for all of us, and he has really helped me in many different experiences in my life, but one in particular was when my husband and I moved to Texas. I really struggled and had some hard times adjusting because I didn't know anybody here. And it was through him that I really found myself and I found him in a deeper way that I had never sought for him in my life. I am constantly still trying to seek him, but that moment and that phase in my life really stands out as a defining time where I found him. And because of that, it's easier for me to find him now in trying times as they come and go in life, because they always do. That's what Christ is to me.
Wow. I really want to reiterate something that you said because it resonated with me and the stage of life that I'm at Right now, I currently feel like I don't know who I am outside of motherhood. And you said it was through him that I really found myself. And I think that is something really important to understand as moms, that we find ourselves through Christ. That as we come to him in those trying times of our lives, he can help us remember who we are supposed to be and what that destiny is for each one of us. That is a cool concept, and I admire you for recognizing that in your own life. So, how do you connect yourself to him and ultimately rely on him every single day?
It's our job as people to connect with Christ. He is always there. He is always waiting for us, but it's our job ultimately to do the work to find that connection. And so there are a thousand different things that we can do to connect, but I found that as I read the scriptures, like there's this saying, right? Like for him to hear us, we pray. And he hears us through prayer. And for us to hear him, we need to read the scriptures. So, having a scheduled time to read the scriptures and to study is really, really important. And I think that that is one way that we can connect ourselves with Christ. There are a lot of other things that I use to find inspiration. Yesterday, I was listening to Don't Miss This. Every week, they do a little review for our at-home study. And I had been earlier in the day having a conversation with a friend who was struggling with some things. And as I was trying to connect with Christ through listening to this, I was able to connect with her in sharing some of the messages that were shared through this podcast. So I think that there are a lot of different ways that you can connect, and it's finding the things that you can hear him through. And doing those things on a regular basis.
Yes. So, how have you found through your connecting with him that he speaks to you personally?
In all of those things I just shared about connecting with him is when I hear him. I was planning a huge trip for our Stake Youth Conference a number of years ago to go to Nauvoo. In preparation for this trip, we had asked all the leaders and all the youth to listen to The Saints, the first volume that was out. And so I would find myself on my run listening to The Saints. And if you're a runner, you know that listening to books isn't always like super awesome, but there are very vivid memories of me running and listening to the stories that were being told, and instantly feeling inspiration of a decision that I had been contemplating, or some issue that we were having in our planning stages that I instantly knew the answer to. So I think for me, I hear him kind of randomly. There's not like a He speaks to me loudly after I pray, but he definitely is always aware of what we're doing and what we're working towards. And when we seek his inspiration, he's going to share with us in our hearts or in our minds even the things that he wants us to do, because ultimately we are his hands on this earth, and through us is how he's going to accomplish the things that he needs to do. And if we're not willing to listen, guess what? He's going to go find somebody else to do that through. So we have to be willing and available to hear him to be able to do the things that he needs to have happen.
I certainly believe that and have seen that in my own life. How do you intentionally teach your children about their Savior?
From an early age, my children have always been taught about Christ, who he is, what he can do for us, what he did for us, how he lived while on this earth, and the blessings that he gives us. We aren't super great about having a set scripture study time. It has not always been our forte. We will do it and then we'll go back and we'll try a different time, but we always do something. And that's what I think is really, really important. And we have always tried to teach our kids the most important things in the gospel. And my husband is a big proponent of the greatest commandment of loving God and loving your neighbors. And I think that if you were to ask my kids, that would be the one thing that would stick out in their minds is that they have been taught like to love God first and to love your neighbors. All other commandments fall under those two great commandments. Everything else points to loving God or loving your neighbor, everything that we do. So we've just always tried to be really intentional in the moment, in the teaching moments that happen as they happen. We don't have like a sit down, okay, let's have a big sit down and discussion about this or that. It's in the moment we try and teach those things. I'm very intentional about having family dinner every night. I hate cooking. I absolutely hate it. Like, I hate the planning. I hate the shopping. I hate the actually preparing the meal. But I do it because of the time that is spent at the dinner table, whether it be 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, like every day is different. But I know how important that time is and how impactful it can be. So I'm willing to do the annoying, hard, like going to the grocery store, planning the meals, making sure I don't forget anything, or running back to the store if I do forget something, because that meal has to be complete and everybody will enjoy it a little bit more and maybe be more talkative if they have that one thing that's I missed at the store. But I think that that is one way that we have intentionally used that time to teach our kids about Christ. And it ultimately, isn't always, let's talk about Christ. It's what's going on in your day and how are you connecting with people in your realm, right? At school or wherever they are. And what are you doing to be a good example to those around you? As a parent, we kind of have this heavy, heavy load to teach our children. That's what we've been taught to do. And that's what the Lord has commanded us to do is to teach our children, to rear them up in righteousness. And at some point, they will go off and they will be stewards of their life. And at that point, you have to wonder, did I do everything that I possibly could? Because that question is going to come back to you. As a parent, did I do everything that I possibly could to teach this person or this child everything that they need to know? I don't think everything is feasible, but everything that we could do, did we do it? And knowing that that is our lot, like that is on us, makes it that more important. Once they step out those doors, the freedom is theirs to choose. And I mean, as a child of parents, I know that as I stepped out the door, I still came home a lot and was like, I don't know what to do, or I need help with this. And my parents were always there to help and guide. And I will always be there for my kids to help and guide. But it's a process. And we are very open with our kids. Like when they give us pushback of, we don't want to read scriptures, or do we have to do this? Do we have to do that? It's like, yeah, you know why? Because it's our job. Like, as your parents, this is our job to teach you all the things that we need to teach you about Christ and about the gospel and about being a good person and about living life and about being just being good stewards of the things that we have been given. Like, you have been given to us, and we have to be able to teach you all the things that we have to do. And the second we say that, they're like, okay, you're just doing your job as a parent to teach me the things that I need to learn.
It is such a great responsibility, and it makes me so grateful for his grace because as parents, we have to do all that we can to teach and prepare those children. And then after all that we do, he makes up for what we lacked in, what we didn't teach through his grace. I was also going to mention that I feel for you in your hatred in making and prepping dinners, but the other night I was listening to a podcast exactly a while back, and this mother had spent the whole night up trying to rock her baby to sleep, and it was not a good night. She was praying that she could just get back to sleep when she heard the distinct voice, "Do this for me." And I love those words because he physically can't rock that baby. He can't make and prep those dinner tasks that we hate. He needs us to do them for him because he would be doing them if he was here. And those words always change my perspective when I come back to them, when I'm trying to serve and it is just too hard, or I'm so exhausted and have nothing left to give, or when I need to teach my children a principle of love and loving others and they're just being wild. Do this for me.
Yep. And every stage, there's always something that, like currently our stage of life with teenagers, they all want to stay up late and they all want to talk or they want to watch a movie or whatever. And I have been teaching seminary the last 2 years. So I have grown accustomed to going to bed like at 9 o'clock, right? Where I'm not staying up super late. I'm not teaching seminary anymore, so that excuse is not valid, but I find myself like, I'm so tired. And I have to remember, it's just a season. It's just a season. Rocking the babies in the middle of the night, it's just a season. Dealing with toddlers and tantrums, it's just a season. Dealing with teenagers and all the teenage things, it's just a season. And the late nights, like, it's not going to be forever. So being able to just do it right now for a short time for him is 100% worth it.
Oh, absolutely. What attributes of Christ have you seen in your three teenagers?
Most rewarding thing about being a parent, when you see your kids acting and implementing the things that you've taught them about Christ and seeing them apply that in their life. I think that my kids are really good about being forgiving and showing compassion towards other. They're always willing to forgive me when I fail or when I stumble or when I, you know, maybe I don't react as I should as a parent, and they're always willing to brush it off or forgive. But I love seeing them serve. I find great joy in serving. And when I see them serving in different capacities that they are asked to serve in, and I see them flourish and I see them grow in loving others, that is the most rewarding thing. And I think as they continue to grow, I'll be able to see that more fully. But right now, I have one daughter who's serving as the president of her youth group, and she has grown immensely in loving others well. Like, loving others isn't always super easy for a lot of people for lots of reasons, right? But that is one of the great commandments, like to love God and to love others. And she has grown so much in loving her peers in where they are, right? Because everybody's at different levels and different maturity levels at that age. And her finding and being able to realize that she can love them where they are and serve them where they are has been really, really rewarding. I mean, all of Christ's attributes shine through children.
Yes, I love that. And I need and I want to be better about writing these attributes that they do exhibit down for my children to be able to look back on one day. I love that. So what advice would you give to mothers who also want to nurture a deeper love of Christ in their children?
So I think that one of the things that is most important is to first you seek to find a deeper love for Christ. Once we have established that in our lives, then we're able to help and teach our kids that. Actions speak louder than words. And kids see what you do, they don't listen to what you say. So if you're trying to teach them about being compassionate, they're going to see you being compassionate in the world that you are in to their siblings, to your spouse, to maybe family that lives close by or neighbors. If they see you being compassionate in, taking a meal to a family, they see that. They don't hear it, they see it. For me, I feel like the best way that I can teach my kids to be Christ-like is by doing the things that he would do. And not being boastful about it, not being, oh, look at me, look at me. But when they ask, just tell them what you're doing. Well, who are you making dinner for, Mom? Why are you making an extra meal? Oh, I'm taking dinner to so and so who just had surgery, or whatever the case may be. When you show them the way that Christ would act, that's when they're going to be most receptive, because that's how kids are. They'd rather not hear you say, don't do this, don't do that. They'd rather you just show them what to do and then lead them to the water and let them drink of it. Lead them to the service plate where they can come and serve and let them learn and find a love for that, a love for Christ. Through that, they will learn and they will come unto him and they will strive to be more like him.
Yes, we need to lead them to him. And that is our responsibility, like you were talking about earlier. It's so amazing and beautiful. Are there any other insights or experiences that you would like to share?
When I moved to Texas, we didn't have a temple close by. We live in Austin, and the closest temple at the time was in Houston. And so I had the chance to go visit the Houston temple one time. And then a number of years later, the San Antonio temple was built. And so I was able to go and participate in ordinances in the temple. And I set out to have the experience of going to the temple every month. I wanted to be able to go and worship and to become closer and to become more Christ-like in everything that I was doing. I had not been super proactive in going to the temple as a newlywed and as a young mother. It was just really hard to do. But about 6 years ago, I just set this goal in place that I wanted to go every month, and I was able to be transformed in a way that I didn't really think I needed to be, or that I didn't realize was necessary. It really made a huge impact on the experiences that I was going through in those days and am currently to make them lighter. Me doing that outward expression of giving my time to the Lord allowed him to give me 100 times the love and the comfort and reassurance that I was doing the things that I needed to do, that he saw me and he knew me and that he heard me, which allowed me to hear him even on a deeper level. And I hope that my kids, as they've watched me go, that it creates a desire in their heart.
Thank you for listening to Children Rooted in Christ. I hope that you felt uplifted and inspired by the messages shared. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would love for you to share it with others. Follow us on Instagram at Children Rooted in Christ. Subscribe or leave a review. Apply and follow what you have learned this week. Write down and act on the impressions you felt while listening. You are an amazing mother, and here's till next week.